Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man.
Good morning. How do you do?
Hey, man.
Just want to talk about the boys in blue.
Hey, man.
Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ?
Hey, man.
What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen, and the lineup, too?
Hey, man.
How was the road trip? Bob and Dusty wanna know.
Hey, man.
What do you think of Slugger and FM radio?
Hey, man.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it true you're a deadhead too?
Hey, man.
Kid Baseball, wanna talk music with you.
Hey, man.
Shout out to the old number fives for the jam. Shout out to Royals manager Matt Cotrero for joining us today as he does every Wednesday at 9. Matt, how are we doing today on this Wednesday?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
I'm not good, man.
Okay.
Well, thanks for caring. I saw the big E word yesterday, Matt. I mean, September 23rd, I can give you where I was at in my life. I always watched the Royals lose 100 games. I would have been champion at the bit to tell me that the Royals were going to be in the hunt until September 23rd. But I do want to ask the vibes, right? You know, the team is eliminated, is what it is. That's the sport of the game. How do you keep those vibes going for the next, you know, five games of the season?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any issue with that when you have guys like Bobby and Salvi and Vinny and Michael. I mean, those guys, they want to play every game. They're professionals. They have a lot of pride in what they do. They have a lot of pride in the organization. Yes, we were eliminated. We knew coming into this week that it was going to be tough. I mean, we made our bed. We didn't play well enough to secure a spot, and that's something that we're going to have to deal with and understand why and try to make it better until you win the last game of the year. But at the same time, that doesn't change the character in the room or the work ethic or the drive to be great. And I think that's one of the things that makes us excited about where we are and what we can do in the future. It didn't work out the way any of us wanted this year. But at the same time, that doesn't change one bit about the makeup or the character and what these guys want to achieve. Now, we came up short, and that's not good enough. But at the same time, I think these guys are going to really put a good effort in for the last week.
You know, Matt, when you come into a new organization, you're not really familiar with the history and all that kind of stuff. I don't expect anybody to be familiar with any history of any organization they haven't been involved in or a fan of. But you had said something, I guess it was Saturday or Sunday, about the importance of finishing above 500 or, you know, for this organization and what that means. I think that's, I know you don't want to have any silver linings in that, but when you only make, when you only finish above 500 like four or five times in the last 40 years, that is important to the organization. I'm glad to hear you say that, because it shows to me, like, man, he's got perspective of this organization. He knows what the fans have been through. Get above 500 and give the fans something to feel good about going into that offseason, and the organization too.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, 500, you know, is there a huge difference between winning 80 and 81 and 82? Not at the end of the day, but at the same time, you're playing to win. Yeah. You know, I mean, and we're going to play to win every single one of these games this week, and that's the way you should. I mean, that's the way you do things when you're a professional. And you know, even going back to 2 years ago when we lost a ton of games, I mean, we were playing till the end, and we won the last two out of three in the last series of the year. I mean, you're trying to do everything you can every night to be the best team on the field. And these guys aren't going to change that perspective. I mean, we've talked about it. They understand where we are. They came into this week knowing it was going to be an extreme long shot. You know, it happened yesterday before we even started that we were eliminated. But even knowing that where we were and what the odds were stacked against us, all those guys that I mentioned, and, you know, they all said, I want to play every day. I don't care. I want to be out there. I want to do what's right. And that's really reassuring to me that we have the right group of people.
Well, and also too, I think people forget how hard it is to win a baseball game or a football game. I think a lot of times, you know, we kind of take that for granted, and you guys want to continue to go out there and win those games because it matters and it's hard to do. And not to get morbid or anything, but how many of these guys may never play baseball again after this season, or how many guys never coach again, you know, after this season. So you want to go out there and want to have those wins and have those memories.
Well, I certainly hope a lot of them are still playing next year, because that'll yeah. make my and I hope I'm still, you know, and we're all still coaching and managing and things. I mean, because we do this because we love it, and we do have a good group of guys. There's no question about that. You know, they won't be the exact same team next year. There's always changes. There's always additions and subtractions and stuff. But to your point, yeah, it is really hard. I mean, every game is hard to win. That's why I'm always so cautious and caution people about talking about, well, we need to win 7 out of 10 or whatever. We need to go 8-2 in this stretch. Like, that's not a tenable way to go about planning your season, right? You got to put every ounce of energy and effort into winning one pitch, one inning, one game at a time. You just cannot do that and be sustainable in the big leagues.
Yeah, something that's going to be sustainable in the big leagues next year, some big news drop, the ABS system passed. So next year, you know, you guys will be able to pat yourselves on the head to see if you want to challenge a call. Are you in favor of that, or where do you lie on that sort of rule change?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think you know, it's a tough thing for me. I think that there is a great part of the human element, but the technology has gotten so good that, I mean, why wouldn't you use it?
Right.
You know, I just think we're in a spot where, and truthfully, I probably would lean towards using it on every pitch, because if you can get it right, why wouldn't you get it right? You know, and I mean, that will be the case, you know, down the road. But for now, I mean, this is the first step. You know, and I do think it's a good thing. And I think it's another level of accountability. I think it's accountability for the umpires, but it's accountability for the players too. And we talk about this all the time. Players get upset with the strike zone, whether they're our hitters or our pitchers and other teams' players as well. And now, you know, you can complain about it, but put yourself on the line and see if you're right, you know. And I think that's another level of accountability for all of us.
Do you find it odd that 7 franchises decided to go against that rule change?
I did not know that. I didn't see the vote. I just saw that it came across. I think we all assumed it was coming. So I did not see the vote.
I didn't either, but I'm surprised by that, Matt. Like, having the opportunity to experience this in spring training, you got to be having like a bunch of screws loose to vote against this thing. I think it's not intrusive. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's fast. Like, I personally think in our lifetimes, of our generation of sports fans, Matt, I think this is going to be the greatest change that we have seen in American professional sports.
Wow. Okay. I mean, when you say seven franchises, are you saying seven owners voted against it?
Yeah, seven teams voted against not having the ABS system.
Well, I mean, I guess anytime you get a vote, right, it's very odd that it's unanimous. So, I mean, seven probably seems a little high to me, yes, but I'm not surprised that there were some.
Yeah. You can have a hard time telling me that Cole Reagans knows his team is eliminated after his last two starts. What have you seen from the AC or staff? That guy's got – I mean, it's it. The last two starts, the first inning, everybody's just swinging and missing.
Well, I mean, it's fun, and I mean, it's encouraging, and I'm really happy for him. I'm happy for us that he's back out there. And at the same time, it gives you that that what if mm-hmm. you
it's
know,
bittersweet.
He had stayed – yeah, exactly. And you know, but in all things considered – you know, had we put ourselves in a better spot, we'd be so excited that he was ready for the postseason. And you know, at the same time, now we know that he's going to go in. Well, we hope he's got one more start, but hope you know he goes into the offseason healthy and you know is ready to ramp it up. You know, come next season. So I couldn't be happier for him. I mean, I'm sure you've been around guys that have rehabbed and stuff, but the amount of work, the amount of mental fatigue and physical fatigue that he's put himself through with Jeff Blum and our whole training staff to get back to where he is. I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, he worked extremely hard, and it's gratifying to see him back out there.
You sounded like a fan a little bit there, Matt. I'm not going to lie. When you go, man, if we just would have had him, what could have been? I'm like, I never heard a coach or manager like kind of get that fan side going a little bit. But yeah, that's kind of how we feel as well. I like hearing that from you.
Well, I mean, I'm a fan of these guys. You know, I mean, I'm the manager. But at the same time, I mean, I live and die with every pitch and every hit, every swing of the bat with these guys. I mean, we all do as coaches. I mean, this is why we do it. We love these guys. We watch what they do and try to help them through it every single day. And when guys go out there and succeed, there's nothing better.
Yeah. We'll finish it off with this because this weekend is one of my favorite weekends of the year because of the Ryder Cup, which is being played in Bethpage Black. I'm sure you're familiar with where that course is at. Also, there is a historic thing happening in your own division with the Cleveland Guardians, not the Indians anymore, but the Guardians and the Tigers. What are you more intrigued with, like the Ryder Cup or what happens with this division?
Well, the division for sure. I mean, I do love the Ryder Cup. I think that's one of the best events in sports. But I'm far closer to what's going on in the division. So, you know, and out here we're in California, so we get to see a lot of the games before we go out. So it is very interesting. It's part of the reason that, you know, where we are is frustrating to me too, because if, mm-hmm. you know, we go on a run there, you know, and we're right in the same spot, or at least making it a lot more interesting, and that's a frustration. But at the same time, you know, just knowing that it's attainable and understanding that we have to be better and to keep ourselves in that spot, you know, I think it's definitely something I'm going to be watching closely.
No doubt about it, man. Well, if you want, we'll talk to you next Wednesday. The offer is on the table if you want. I know the season will be over by then, but we'd love to have you next Wednesday, and we'll get ready for spring training and get ready for next year.
Okay, guys. All right. Sounds good.
All right. Take care. That is Matt Cotrera, Royals manager there, talking about the end of the season and what could be next. But
I love his emotion and being a fan. You know, like, when was the last time you heard a coach go, dang, if we just would have had him out, like, publicly on the record say that kind of stuff like we do?
He's
like that.
Not wrong.
No, he's not. He's not wrong at all. But I love that that's his mentality, that he understands, man, there's nothing we really could have done. We had so many injuries, and we're still on the 23rd day of September alive for the playoffs. You lose every starter in your rotation, and I don't want to say you never missed a beat, but you could have very well fallen off the face of the earth. That's why I like Matt Cotrera for manager of the year, man. He held this thing together.
Coming up, something that's not being held together is that Ravens locker room. We'll play audio of their players and some of their coaches as well as, it might be down bad for Baltimore as they come to Kansas City on Sunday at 3:25 here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
This song makes me want to go full Aaron Glenn on the sidelines, man. I'll tell you what.
Makes me want to pop a glow stick in my mouth.
Don't do that. Probably some toxins in there.
Probably, yeah.
Glow stick? Ah, never mind.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba! I'm loving it! Well, hello, everybody! Happy Wednesday!
Yeah, you knew what I was going to do there. I'm just going to be smart. That is the sound of the Fesco and Dusty poll question that we do every single Wednesday. And get it together, Bob. This Wednesday, our poll question, because it's, you know, kind of relevant with what's been going on lately with the Chiefs and their enemies. And I thought about this yesterday. Which franchise do you hate more now as a Kansas City Chiefs fan? Is it the Cincinnati Bengals or is it the Philadelphia Eagles? A lot of your voices have been made heard on our poll question. 202 votes are in as of 9:20 this morning. 79.7 say the Philadelphia Eagles over the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, maybe we could have done it a little differently and said, who do you hate more, Nick Sirianni or Ja'Marr Chase? I think the results would be the same.
Yeah, 50-50 split. Yeah.
Well, 79.7 to 20.3.
So, oh, I mean, I think
I think that the Eagles may be less hated as an assumption to maybe Sirianni is the reason why people hate the Eagles more. Yeah. That's at least what TextLine, YouTube people have said as well. That it is a Nick Sirianni hatred, but he comes with the total package that is the Eagles. So that's why the Eagles have taken. Plus, they're more relevantly hated because they blew you out in the Super Bowl. They beat you this year on a couple of false starts on the Tush Push, whatever that is. And then, so the poll results, 79.7 to 20.3, Philadelphia over Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think that is a good way to kind of look at it, though. Nick Sirianni does carry the water because I look at the New England Patriots right now. They're not hateable anymore. I think they were hateable because of Bill Belichick. And, of course, they're not winning right now.
And Brady.
And Tom Brady, yeah, absolutely. You identify certain teams and why you hate them with those players on those teams, not necessarily with the uniforms or whatever. You just don't like a certain individual and whatnot, unless it's a college rival like the Missouri, Kansas or Tennessee, Alabama or whatnot. It doesn't matter who the people are. You're always going to hate. It's weird how rivalries in college are historic, dye-in-the-wool, generational rivalries, and professional rivalries are kind of like who the flavor of the day is, you know, in this situation. We have kind of our core teams that we don't like, but those other teams, man, constantly changing. It was Houston at one point, right? Now it's Buffalo. Then it was Cincinnati. Now it's back to Buffalo. Now it's Philadelphia, right? We have all of these different rivals around, and it just all kind of depends on the time and who's there.
Yeah, because Tennessee's rivalry never changes. It's always Florida.
Yeah.
Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Bama. Yep, that's it.
Or Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt owns the state.
Okay. He's trying. Okay,
stop.
Yeah, he's trying.
Stop, dude.
They're top 20 team.
Yeah, top. Try top 15, baby.
Are they really top 15 now,
Vols,
Vandy?
I'm just talking the Vols.
I want to get into the Ravens real quick, but a lot of people forgot that Deion Sanders played for the Ravens.
That's right.
He's on the New Heights this week. There's different, like, I think Leonardo DiCaprio's on it as well.
I saw that, yeah.
And then Deion Sanders. One of the best stories I've ever heard in my life coming from Coach Prime.
What was your welcome to the NFL moment?
My welcome to the NFL moment was housing that thing on the first game I played in.
That's a hell of a welcome. That's a good one.
I dropped it, picked it up, and housed it. And I can remember going to downtown to the mall. Back then, when we used to go to the mall. And I bought 11 Gucci watches. I bought 11 Gucci watches for the whole punt special return teams?
Team. Oh, man, this is electric.
Including the special teams coach. I wrote on the card, every fourth down, I just wanted y'all to know what time it was.
That is so good.
Bro.
Let's go.
I gave it to him the next day. I want you to know what time it was.
It doesn't sound like there was an NFL welcome moment for Neon Deion. It was a welcome to Neon Deion for the NFL. Welcome.
Crazy.
That's because awesome.
You hear the story first, you're like, oh great, he bought 11 Gucci watches. We ended 11 Gucci watches. Oh, he actually gave it to everybody on the punt return team and the special teams coach.
Right.
So just kind of an interesting nugget there.
So he bought 11. He didn't keep one for himself.
Nope.
Do the math real fast, right? 10 other guys on the special teams and the coach. He bought 11.
Well, that's because he already had one, Bob. Yeah. Clown.
Yeah.
You know, I can see it right now.
I can also see why guys go broke. 11. Hey, your first day in the NFL and you're buying 11 Gucci watches for people.
But he did play for those Ravens. Don't forget, Priest Holmes going to be pounding the drum this Sunday because obviously there's some ties between both. Plus, he's a Chiefs great for the time that he was here.
Mm-hmm.
But man, recipe for success or recipe for disaster? This is the vibes in the Ravens locker room after that big loss to the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football.
We're just not very good. I think big thing on playing on the Ravens defense is the organization, the fans, they've seen greatness. So being bad, being good, really, it's just not the standard.
Definitely not where we wanted to be. No excuses can be made at this point. If it's not one thing, it's another, and we just got to patch everything up right now.
Just the biggest problem is we didn't play good run defense. I mean, we didn't, as a defense complete, we didn't do it. And that's not going to be good enough. There's nobody in that locker room that thinks that's good enough. That's disappointing. That's bad run defense. And that's not who we are. It cannot be who we are. It's not going to be good enough. It's not going to be acceptable. And it's got to be better.
I feel like week one was a wake-up call. You know, not just this loss. Week one was a wake-up call. Last week was a wake-up call, you know, because we started off slow last week. And, you know, we got beat tonight. You know, Lions had a great game plan. I feel like offense and defense for those guys played great. We just got to find a way to win.
Yeah, man, I'm my worst critic, so, you know, I'm going to watch the film. I continue to watch it. I know we got a short week, but, it's just crazy, man. Three fumbles straight, you know. Trying every day to fix a problem. Just keeps occurring, so I'm trying to work on it, man. I'm my worst critic, so, you know, I'm not going to try to beat myself up too much, but it's hard not to when, you know, it's consecutive and consistent and doing the same thing.
Yeah, they're down bad in Baltimore right now. That was Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Hamilton, John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. A who's stars. Who of Baltimore Ravens right now going, we don't know what's going on.
Short week for them traveling. Good or bad having that sort of mentality?
Well, for them, it's bad. For us, it's really good. That's a wounded duck right now, guys. We got to take advantage of these guys. What do we really do? I don't think we're a wounded. We're not talking like that. You know, we're not talking like the world is over. I'll tell you that right now. You're not walking into that Chiefs locker room here and we can't do anything right. We're down bad. We don't do this. We don't do that. That sounded like a funeral right there for Baltimore. Like
it did.
I know it's after a game and you just got your ass beat by Detroit and whatnot, but that sounded like a team that is like already going, we got nothing. The Chiefs, to me, I don't think they're a team down bad. I think they're a team dealing with circumstance right now, and they're trying to deal with it the best that they can, but they're not letting it get them down to a level of that. That to me is like, holy cow, it's week three. If I was a Baltimore Raven fan, or if I was doing this job in Baltimore right now, I'd be like, we got 17 more, 16 more, 15 more weeks, whatever it is of the NFL season that we got to deal with these guys already can't get out of their own way after week three. It's not that they've lost games and they're sitting at 1-2. It's the fact that they're talking after the game like they don't know what to do. They can't figure things out. The Chiefs don't have that attitude at all. They'll be fine. They'll figure things out. But this is an opportunity now on Sunday to go right after the Baltimore Ravens and take care of business early in this one, because I feel like they're that type of team right now that nothing's going right. If it starts going wrong, we may not see them finish the game, you know? So eliminate them early from this one.
Then you've got former players that have their opinions of the Ravens.
Right now, what we're about to do the next 10 minutes is give you the anatomy of an ass whipping, because that's what happens. And I'm calling people out by name today because I'm upset.
Oh.
So those defensive tackles, Travis Jones, Broderick Washington, John Jenkins, Brent Urban.
Who?
Y'all got manhandled.
By some pups.
By some pups from the Detroit Lions. They had issues at the guard position. There's been turnover on the interior of that offensive line. Guess what? They had no issues last night. They was running those double team blocks, that duo play, and they was making them love it. As my former coach Clarence Brooks, God rest his soul, would always say, they were making you love it, big fella. Making you love it.
You know what? If you're the offensive line for the Chiefs and you're Creed and you're Trey, you need to play better. We've talked about that all week, right? The guy on the right side, number 74, Juwan Taylor, he needs to play better as well.
I heard of him.
So you've got a lot of guys on this offensive line that need to play better. But that right there, that should be your wake-up call. Chris Canty just said a bunch of nobodies and rookies dominated the Baltimore Ravens defensive line. Number one pick, guy. $55 million highest paid center, $65 million highest paid guard, one of the highest paid right tackles in the NFL.
Highest paid kicker.
Highest paid kicker, yeah, in the NFL right now. Guys, this is your opportunity to go out there and show us that you are a good offensive line. Don't let the Detroit Lions, who use backups and rookies and unpaid guys, go out there and dominate the Baltimore Ravens, and then you get wrecked on Sunday. There's no excuse for this offensive line on Sunday afternoon not to go out there and assert their dominance. They're the key to this game. This Baltimore Ravens defensive line just got dominated by a wounded, bad, and retired, you know, Detroit Lions offensive line. This Chiefs offensive line is paid as one of the best offensive lines in the country, in the NFL. Go out there and assert your will on the Baltimore Ravens, just like those pups, as Chris Canty called them, for the Detroit Lions did on Monday night. Let's go, offensive line. Go win this game for your team.
The other thing that's interesting, too, about the Ravens is where their fan base is, or where their, you know, alliance lands when it comes to the man calling everything that is John Harbaugh. Because Bobby Trossett on Get Up on ESPN, since 2020, the Ravens have given away 16 different games in which they've had a second half touchdown lead. So 16 different times since 2020, they have had a second half lead that dissipated. That's 7 more losses than any team across the league. And you go down and look at the comments on X, what they say, the second one is, so are we going to start having that coaching conversation, right?
Yeah.
Is this loss, if this is a loss for the Ravens, is that a conversation that is nationally talked about? Is John Harbaugh's time running thin in Baltimore?
Well, I think probably, because that's what we do in sports, right? We overreact. But, I mean, he's gotten him to a certain point, has taken him to a Super Bowl, has won a Super Bowl. But that was 2012, right? The last time that they won the Super Bowl. Yeah. They've not been able to get over the Buffalo hump. They've not been able to get over the Chiefs hump right about now. But I still look at him as one of the best coaches out there. And I'm secretly hoping he does get fired and then the Giants hire him. They fire Daboll, you know, because he will be like an Andy Reid type of guy as a head coach where, yeah, I'm probably done here, but I'm not done here. And he will be the hottest commodity in the market. And then if you're Baltimore, you better make sure you hired somebody better if you move on from Andy Reid, right? Because he is kind of an Andy Reid, getting to a certain level, but hasn't been able to get over that hump. Now, he did win that one Super Bowl, so he does have that on Andy Reid. If they were to let him go, some team is going to snatch him up right away to be their head coach. And they should. Sometimes you just need that scenery change, yeah, as Andy Reid had, you know?
Yeah, it would still be maybe a good decision for Baltimore if they came to that place. But, yeah, he would be the first coach hired as soon as he was on the market. So,
yeah,
no, that makes sense. I mean, Dusty, what do you think? To your question you asked Bob, I mean, do you think it's better or worse for the team that they're coming off this loss? They're down bad. The vibes are atrocious there right now. Not that the vibes here are awesome.
Yeah, I don't think the vibes here are great. I think that, nope, you know, we started the show off being upset about a victory over the Giants, or at least I wasn't extremely pleased that they won the game. They still looked bad in the first half. They did adjust in the second half. They went 22-9. And we had the conversation yesterday about, you know, there were more people optimistic after the loss to the Eagles than they were about the win to the Giants. There were a lot of people like that. Whether it's YouTube, whether it's text line, whether it's text messages, whether it's friends in your inner circle, whatever it may be. But I mean, maybe a sleeping giant is awakening in Baltimore. But I mean, I also am concerned with Lamar being like, week one was a wake up moment. Week two was a wake up moment.
How many more do you need?
Stop hitting the snooze button, Lamar. Yeah. Like, you've got to wake up.
Got one more week.
And you're going to play a team where I think the advantage, there are two major advantages that the Chiefs have in this game that the Ravens don't have. Number one is obviously that it's being played at one Arrowhead Drive.
Ooh.
Number two, the Chiefs are coming off a win in which they adjusted in the second half, where the Ravens are coming off a loss where they are doing the same thing they've done in all their losses this year, right? The Buffalo loss and that loss against Detroit. They just couldn't stop them, and they fumbled the ball with Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry has fumbled in 3 consecutive games. And that is an alarming sign, because we talk about running backs falling off. Derrick Henry still has the step. He can still do the breakaways. He can still break tackles. But something else has evolved in Derrick Henry's game, and it's not something that you want to evolve. It is a fumbling evolution for Derrick Henry. Whereas Lamar Jackson, he ran. He was sacked 7 times. That's one of the fastest, most electric running quarterbacks we've ever seen outside of Michael Vick, and he was sacked seven times.
Could be a Chris Jones game, man. Like, go be Aiden Hutchinson like he was the other night,
right? I think this is the game
where
you look at Carl Loftus, you say, okay, this is why we gave you the contract. This is a big Carl Loftus game. I'm not saying he's Aiden Hutchinson. Nobody's Aiden Hutchinson except Aiden Hutchinson. But this is a game in which, if there is a vulnerability, it is in that offensive line, and it is in the exchange from Lamar to Derrick Henry. Three fumbles would say that. That is an outlier of a stat for Derrick Henry. We did that on Monday where Tuesday when Derrick Henry, fumbled three times from 2020 to 2024. He's fumbled three times in three consecutive games.
And two of them have cost him the game.
Your other advantage is that last week you shut down Wandell Robinson and Malik Nabers. I'm sorry, I'll say this. Those receivers are far and away better than Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, and DeAndre Hopkins.
No doubt. Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is a shell of himself. Malik Nabers is one of the best receivers in the NFL if he had a competent quarterback. But
yeah, Hopkins has had a good year.
Yeah, he has.
Like, come on. Like, I know we like to say it as Chiefs fans. No, he looks good.
He does. He's had himself a decent enough year, but I'm not going to worry about DeAndre Hopkins beating me.
But if I put a gun to your head and said Wandell Robinson or Malik Nabers or Zay Flowers or Rashad Bateman, before I even lift the gun, you're going to be like,
for sure.
Yeah.
But when talking in this context about defending them, I think it matters. Like you always say, your receivers are only good as your quarterback.
Right. So and that's the other thing. Lamar. They got Lamar versus that guy who played for New York that threw to a door and hit a
pole. Who did New York have last year when they were throwing to Malik Nabers? Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Well, they had Daniel Jones. Tommy Cutlets was in there as well.
I'm sure they're putting numbers up with him, but again,
that's true. No, you're right.
I'm sure there was somebody else out there, but no, it's not. We can't take away from Steve Spagnuolo shutting those guys down. That would be a 100% detriment to the. And again, that's why with football, you've got so many moving parts that you can make a case for anything being the best or the worst just by some of the moving parts that are out there right now. Yes, judging by wide receivers, the Giants are better, but then you got the quarterback situation with Lamar. That's why it's so important to get to him.
Let me ask you this real quickly. Who has a better impact, in your opinion, in Sunday's game? George Karlaftis, Xavier Worthy?
I'm a defensive guy, so I'd like to say George Karlaftis. But I think from an offensive standpoint, I think we get to see Xavier Worthy.
We just have Worthy and Thornton doing the Aaron Glenn down the
sidelines? Yeah, just down the sidelines. Yeah, that would be great. I love that play. Just one guy on each side of the field, double do a flag pattern, just go to the end zone. Just go.
Yeah, I'll go Bob Xavier Worthy.
Dump it off the Tanyan. Okay.
If Bob played Madden, he'd just run four verts every
season. I absolutely would. I mean, if you got the speed to do it, why not? So you got to utilize your guys.
So you say Worthy, you say Karlaftis. Why?
It's because I'm a defensive guy and I love defense. And so I want to see defense wins champions. I need the defense to be big.
But you have more confidence in it. I know you're a defensive guy, but do you have more confidence?
What was the question?
Who do you think will be more of an impact in this game, Karlaftis or Worthy?
Karlaftis, I think, will be, yeah.
He's a defensive guy. He said it. Come on,
that's my fault. I'll go Worthy just because I have more confidence that Ravens offense will figure it out. Like, I know the stats were awesome for Lamar. I thought Lamar played bad that game. Like, he was holding the ball way too long. He didn't know where he was. He fumbled it twice.
Again,
he picked
where
it back
stats
up.
Are, deceiving when you watch the entire game. You're like, what's he doing there?
Yeah, Twitter's like, Lamar needs help. 23 for... No, dude, watch the game. Like, he almost turned over the ball twice, ended a drive on fourth down because he did fumble it and picked it back up. Like, he got sacked seven times. I think three of those are his offensive line's fault. I'd say four of those are him just like, dude, run, throw it, decide. You held the ball for 6 seconds. So I have just more confidence in him not getting sacked like that. But Xavier, that defense isn't getting fixed in 1 week like this. Xavier Worthy can slash them apart.
Yeah,
if he's healthy.
Again, this goes back to the offensive line, man. Chris Canty basically gave you every piece of ammo that you need to go out there and dominate this week. Dominate in the running game. Dominate in the passing game. This is, again, as we've said all morning long, this is not your daddy's Baltimore Raven football team anymore. This is not the 85 Bears. This is not the 2000 Ravens. This is, the 2018 Chiefs. I mean, you can go out there and put up points against these guys. I'm surprised they're still a 2.5-point favorite, too. Based on all that stuff that came out of the locker room yesterday, you would have thought a ton of money would have been flowing in on Kansas City.
Shows you where the national bettors in Vegas have this game being played. Because, I don't think I don't think it should be 2.5. I think it should be a pick 'em.
I think it should be at least a pick 'em game. Gary Myers is probably picking the...
Well, the Ravens are a dynasty.
They're a dynasty.
Yeah, they've had John Harbaugh there since 2012. So
that's a good segue because we did have a text on that. And if you didn't listen, you can go listen to Gary Myers be an idiot for 10 minutes with us. But he said the Chiefs are like a small dynasty at best. If the Eagles win this year, we had this text earlier, are they a dynasty?
Well, I think you've won 2 Super Bowls in 3 years and been to 3 of them.
2017, would you count that? Gary's counting that. He's 81-95 for the Niners. He's counting it.
Who was the quarterback and coach in 2017? Not here. So, I don't think you count that because how many guys on that 2017 roster are currently with the Philadelphia Eagles? That was again. I will say that
Howie Roseman would be the only guy.
Yeah, that's the only one. But that's an anomaly that they won that Super Bowl. because there was no real sustained success on either side of that Super Bowl with, you know, Doug Peterson there. So that doesn't count. No, I think if they win the Super Bowl this year, you've won back-to-back Super Bowls. You've been to three Super Bowls in the last 4 years. With the way that this league turns over talent and rosters at a third of your roster every year, yeah. I mean, you know, sports is a quick hit them and get on with your life type of thing anymore. And so, yeah, if you go to three Super Bowls in 4 years, why can't you be considered a dynasty?
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We wrap ourselves in the flag on the other side of the break, and we get you ready for Thursday's show here on 96.5 The Fan, your home.
You don't want to miss this. Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Creed Humphrey, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Gotta love those New York prices. Are they trying to keep the crowd tame? Alcoholic beverage prices have been announced at Bethpage for the Ryder Cup. Michelob Ultra, $15 for a 60-ounce can.
When has anybody ever allowed that from them from buying, though, at a game? Like, right. The people who bitch about the prices are usually the ones that aren't there that are on social media complaining about it. I've never been to a game where somebody is in line and go, 15 for a beer, screw this, and they get out of line. They pay it. They've got you, you know?
Somebody tell me how much beers are at the Waste Management Tournament.
Oh, God. Because
that doesn't seem to seem to affect anybody in that.
Oh.
We will dive into it a lot tomorrow. The Ryder Cup is... right around the corner. They are going to move up the ceremonies to today, introducing players, captains. Obviously, it's Luke Donald, the European captain, and Keegan Bradley, the American captain. Captain Keegan, man, that's what we need, who was, you know, left out in 2023 because, well, Zach Johnson was an idiot, went with his heart and brought a couple guys on the team that probably shouldn't have played that year. And you have all the ceremonies today, and then tomorrow, 3 o'clock our time, we will get the pairings announced for Friday when the Ryder Cup does take off in Bethpage. This is probably a top two event for me in sports. Number one being the Super Bowl, number two being the Ryder Cup.
And then the draft.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But this is, I love this. Like, it will be very hard for me to be locked into Red Zone on Sunday and also locked into the Ryder Cup. Like, Red Zone will be on the smaller TV.
Wow.
Straight up. Dead ass. Like, that's, it will be Ryder
Cup. It's a bigger event than now, the Red Zone. I mean, you don't
know. Now, depending, if we get to Sunday and one of the other two teams is up like 12 and a half to whatever, then, because, you know, the defending team only has to get the solid point, the other team has to get the other half, right? Like, that's how the Ryder Cup works. Right now, it holds home in the European team. We'll see what Rory looks like. We'll see what John Rahm looks like, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood. And then you've got the Americans as well. And I think the one thing that bothers me with what's going on right now is Brendel Chamblee, right? Okay. So this is a time every 2 years where you just got to completely wrap yourself up in the American flag for the American team. You don't want to lose to the Europeans. You want to win this game. We want to win this tournament. It's the Ryder Cup. And you want your best people on the team. What your feelings are about people going to join LIV or people doing what they're doing should not affect what you want the ultimate outcome to be. And the quote, or not the quote, but the rant that Brendel went off on Bryson DeChambeau, which is what you'll hear in about a couple seconds, is atrocious and can't happen.
To drum up some interest for himself. And I thought it was pretty poignant there when he asked about the retort of Rory that he didn't mention the goal this week of a Ryder Cup. Nope, he didn't do that. He didn't talk about playing on a team and how much that meant. Nope, he didn't do that. What he did do was talk about his YouTube channel, which, you know, if we want to talk about the numbers that are generated from that, it's pretty dubious. I have no doubt that bots are generating a lot of those those views. There may be some interest as well, but that's what he wants to talk about. Not the team, not the Ryder Cup. And this is one of the reasons why I think he's going to be such a difficult person to get paired with. No doubt he's one hell of a golfer. No doubt he has his moments of generosity with fans. I've heard about him. But he's an odd duck when he's trying to blend in with the team. And he has so many potential bulletin board mistakes. I think he would be a captain's nightmare.
Kiss my ass, Brendel. Kiss my ass! And if you need to know, Bryson DeChambeau on the first hole, it is a dog leg right. He's going to tee the ball over the trees, and he's going to put it on the green for a potential eagle putt.
That's sick.
Because, by the way, we've seen it before.
That was nuts. First tee shot was incredible at Whistling Straits. When I hit that shot and Ray rose the putter up, I was like, this is it. This is what golf's all about.
He is headed to Mesquite, Nevada tomorrow for the World Long Drive Championships. Been warming up for those just as much as he's been getting his game in shape for his second Ryder Cup.
Ooh. 340 to the front edge of the green.
340 to the
giving
front.
It a go.
Why wouldn't he, Bones?
This match is Dave McAtee.
Good luck. And that one is on the green. Much to the delight of the thousands around it.
He flew it right on the front edge.
Most of any players you can see there driving a par four green. They've got his kind of power. Not totally out of the ordinary. Good looking putt by DeChambeau.
Wow.
Are you getting there? Are you ready for the Ryder Cup?
Getting
there. Are you ready?
Hello, America.
If you're ready for this, as we wrap the show up and get you ready for the Ryder Cup, this is a firefighter getting every really emotional about the Ryder Cup here as we end the show on this.
My name's Chris Mascali, and this is my son, Joey. I'm a proud New York City fireman. At the request of your captain, I'm here today to tell my story and hopefully offer some words of inspiration to you guys. My dad, firefighter Joe Mascali, was a 14-year veteran of the FDNY. He and his brothers raced towards the World Trade Center into the unknown because that's what the job demands: courage, sacrifice, selflessness, and love of country. I remember our times on the course vividly. I'd hit it and chase it for hours and come home exhausted. And it was about the lessons that went far beyond the game, about battling back and being resilient. I can still hear his words today. I'm here for you. You got this. Sorry. A morning that feels a lot like that September morning 24 years ago. Clear skies, crisp September air. A day like any other, but a day that changed the world, changed this country, and changed my family's life forever. My dad, along with 342 of his fellow firefighters, he made the ultimate sacrifice that day. The day he didn't come home, the day that left a hole in my family's heart forever, but the day that forged me into who I am today, to join the FDNY and follow his footsteps and carry his name forward. You know, being a fireman is a lot more than just a job. It's a calling. It's a calling to put others first. To uphold the standards set by generations before us. And to fight for each other no matter what. In a lot of ways, that's what the Ryder Cup is about. You 12 represent more than just yourselves. You represent a nation. You wear the stars and stripes on your chest, but more importantly, on your heart, in your hearts. This is more than just golf. This is for our country. This is for every American that embodies what it means to be American. For the soldiers overseas, for the cop on the beat in the Bronx, for the fireman rushing into a burning building in Flatbush. For kids like Joey, who dream of being in your shoes one day. One of the toughest courses in the world, as relentless as the fans that will pack it. It's gonna be loud, it's gonna be raw, but that's New York. New Yorkers expect nothing but the best. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And that couldn't be more true than here at the Ryder Cup. Play with grit, play with fire, play with arrogance and swagger. Go out there and play like you have the country on your back, because you do. And I promise you, these fans will lift you up. Because New Yorkers respect that grit, they respect that fire. And most of all, they respect fight. As a lieutenant in the FDNY, my job is to prepare my men, set them up for success, and get them home safe. That's a victory for us. As your captain, he's done the same. He's put the pieces in place. He believes in every single one of you, and he set this team up to win. Now it's on you. Go out there and play with that honor and respect and pride. Play for each other. Play as a unit. Now go out there and bring that cup home to where it belongs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring it back to New York and restore the sense of pride and patriotism this country needs now more than ever. And as we say in the FDNY, go get them, brothers. This is your moment. I wish you all the best of luck. God bless America. Let's go get a W for them.
Mm. Who's ready so for the Ryder
good,
Cup
man.
Now, boys?
So good.
Who's ready for the Ryder Cup now, baby?
USA!
Ed Orgeron, baby!
USA!
How are you not ready for that after that?
I got chills all the way up my thighs, baby.
Hey, go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. Simply cool to care. Wrap yourself in the flag. The Ryder Cup starts Friday. Coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hello, America.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.